four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
You sure?
I'm sure.
I'm talking to him already. I don't even know what to do.
This is dedicated Le'inui Nishmat Rachel Bat Rina and Rachel Bat Rina Ashkenazi and David Ben Ada.
Again, we're speaking about big subjects here. We're trying to pick the biggest subjects to talk about over here from the Pirasha. We talked about bad traits. We talked about anger a couple of weeks ago. Tonight I want to talk about a positive trait. Probably one of the most important character traits that you have to have. The most important character trait of being a Jew, and staying religious, you need this trait. I want to start off by explaining to you what this concept called Chesed means. Chesed means when you do a kindness for your friend. So we generally believe that you do a kindness to your friend, you did him a Chesed, so now your friend has to pay you back. He did something for him, so he's going to pay you back. So we think that he only has to pay us back according to the chesed relative, what we did. You lent the guy a pen, say he doesn't have to go now lend you $1 million. It's relative, lend me a pen, so I'll lend you a quarter. It works like that. But we see in the Torah that when it comes to a person doing a chesed, the payback for a chesed is unproportionate to the level of chesed that was done. I'll give you an example. Go in Perashat Vayetze. Take the story of when Yaakov Avinu went to the Be'er. Remember, he went to see Lavan? So he gets to the well, and he sees a lot of shepherds by the well. So he asks them, he says, what are you all doing over here? So they tell him, well, there's a big rock on the well, and we can't lift the rock. We have to wait till everybody comes, and collectively we're going to lift this big rock, and we'll throw it off the well, and then we'll all start to drink to the animals. So what does Yaakov do? Vayomeru, lo nuchal, ad asher yasefu kol ha'adarim vegalu et ha'evim al pi ha'be'er. The hail comes. Vayigash Yaakov. Yaakov comes close to the well. Vayagel et ha'evin me'al pi ha'be'er. Vayash ketzon avan ha'imo. He lifts the rock off the well. A tremendous thing. Here you had 100 shepherds that couldn't lift the rock off. And Yaakov comes in. Comes to Rashi and says, Kimi shema'abir et pekak me'al pi selo'i. If you want to know the effort that Yaakov had to put into taking this rock off the well, so picture it to a guy opening a bottle of champagne. Opening a bottle of soda. Click. Any effort in that? Nothing. That rock to Yaakov was nothing. As she says, Leodi, I got to teach you, Shekoho Gadol. Yaakov is very powerful, he's very strong, was a cinch. Is it a chesed that he did? Tremendous chesed. Yeah, he helped the people feed their animals. You know, on Sukkot we pray for the rain. The rain is a big thing. The world lives, cannot exist without rain. Rain is sustenance. When there was no rain in Israel, in the old days, they would fast. 3 fasts, 7 fasts. Like Tisha B'Av, the Blow Shofar. Seriously. We all know the importance of rain. In the prayer for rain that we pray, one of the things that we mention is Hashem Bizchut Yaakov that took the rock over the well that gave the people water, Bizchut that action, give us rain. Comes the rabbi and says, We just said that action was not such a big action. First of all, who was he doing it for? He was doing it for the Ahel. The Ahel is his relative. Second of all, he lifted the roof with no effort. It was nothing. Such a small act of chesed, and 3,000 years later, we're coming to God and saying, give the entire world rain, bescoop the favor that Yaakov did to the Ahel and the shepherds by the well. It's unproportionate. Someone comes and says, Pastor Soda, Pastor Soda, here, Pastor. Beskut that Hashem, please give the whole world rain for them. Doesn't matter. Because you don't understand what a chesed is. Chesed is on the Hashem. When a guy does a chesed, it's, the level is tremendous. You can't imagine the ramifications. One of the things we mentioned is, Hashem, give us rain, Beskut Yaakov, that fought with the angel that was made out of fire and water. That angel that he fought. Now that we understand, that's a big thing. He fought with an angel, that means he reached a high spiritual level. And the same breath that we say, give us rain, Bishkut Yaakov, that fought with an angel that reached a high level in religion, and give us rain because he picked the rock off the well. From here you see that the smallest ma'aseh chesed, the smallest act of kindness, do a favor, that action lives on forever. That action has a power to bring sustenance to the entire world, rain to the entire world, forever and ever. Go to Perashat Hayesara and take the story of when Abraham Avinu was going to buy the Me'arat HaMachpelah. Who did he buy it from? He bought it from Bnei Chet, Ephron Achiti, the children of Chet. Now, the children of Chet were not the straightest people. You remember the story how they come, very generous people. Abraham, Chabot, take it, it's yours, Balash, no price. Our pleasure, you're a prince, it's our honor to sell you the Me'arat HaMachpelah, because you're such a noble person, and we're going to give it to you as a gift. In the end, you see what they did. Not only did they charge them, but they charged them 400 shekel keseh, it's like $250,000, for a cage that they had no use for in the first place, like used car salesmen. They gave them, they don't nothing, and they end up saffing them, and they took all his money away. And Abraham pays him. Would you call that a chesed? What kind of chesed? Who benefited from this chesed? David. Mr. Ephron and the children of Ayat benefited $250,000. They benefited the fact that they can have bragging rights now to walk around and say, we did business with Abraham, who was a prince. We have dealings with him. Their real estate agency goes up. If you sold something to the king of the queen of England, so now ready your hashuv, the queen of England is Muhammad bin al-Havdil al-Fa'afdalot, to even make such a comparison, it doesn't even start. Just so you understand it. Okay, we sold it to Abraham, hashuv! But you still see, how does Abraham treat these people? He's bowing down, but yishtachol amar is the mirah, he's bowing down. Why? Because in the end, did you do me a favor? Yeah, you did me a favor. You sold me the Me'arat HaMachpelah. Ah, you benefited. Ah, you're a crook. Ah, you cheated. But bottom line, I received benefit from you. If I have to bow down. Comes the Midrash in the name of Rabbi Eliezer, and he says, how many pens are broken, and how much ink is spilled, that the Torah goes and writes the words B'nei Chet 10 times. What's the hell to the children of B'nei Chet? Imagine having your name in the Torah. The Torah is the blueprint of creation. It's the holiest book. It's going to be forever. B'nei Chet, a bunch of crooks. 10 times their names are in the Torah. So B'nei Chet, what's going on? 10 times. How much ink did we waste to put B'nei Chet in the Torah? So it comes in the Midrash and says, 10
times connected to Aseret HaDibirot. From here we learn that somebody that does business with a Sadiq and helps a Sadiq acquire property, it's equivalent as if he fulfilled the Ten Commandments. Therefore, the payback to B'nai Het is, we're going to put your name in the Torah 10 times for eternity, and every Jew is going to read that during Parashat Hayesara. We're going to give you a whole Parashat, the Torah Hayesara. The first 30 pieces, all you, dedicated to B'nai Het. Why? Because you did a favor to Abraham. So we have to have gratitude to B'nai Het. Scale him, it's what B'nai Het. What kind of gratitude? We have to have gratitude to these people? Yeah. Because in the end they did you a chesed. In the end, something good came out. Even though their intention was rotten. Even though their intention was not so much to help Abraham. They want to help the pocket. But look how much the Torah goes out and says, you know what a chesed is? Even a chesed on that low level, selfishness, of greed, of trickery, even a chesed on small level, the ramifications are tremendous. Put your name in the Torah, thank God. Abraham's going to bow down to these people. You want to see it more? I'll give it to you more. Go into last week's Pirasha. You have a story over here of Moshe runs away because he killed the Egyptian. He runs away to a place called Midian. He gets to Midian, he meets up with at the well. Always the stories happen at the well. So, he sees the daughters of Yitro. The daughters of Yitro come home. They tell him the story. They said, we were at the well. There was some trouble over there. Moshe came and he helped us out. Got us the water. He helped us. So what does the Yitro say? Where is he? You didn't bring him home? Why'd you leave him there? Kir'en lo v'yochal lahem. Bring him home. Give him some bread. Give him lunch. Now, let's analyze exactly what happened over here. Comes a rabbi in the Midrash called Rav Simon, and Rav Simon comes and says, "En kan chesed, what Yitro did by inviting Moshe over for bread, we don't consider this chesed, doing him a favor. Why? Because look what Moshe did. Moshe saw his daughters at the well. The Midrash explains that they took the daughters of Yitro and threw them down the well. So when the daughters come back and tell their father, Vegam dalo dala lanu, he drew for us. Not only did he draw water, he drew us out of the well. Moshe Rabbeinu went and saved their lives. He gave them, so the daughters come home, we almost died, we almost drowned, but there was an Egyptian fellow there that saved our lives. So comes Yitro, oh, very good, invite him, give him some bread. Is that a chesed? Chesed means you do a favor for a guy, you see Ani on the street, come on, father, have some bread, that's right, I don't owe you anything. Yitro inviting Moshe for this piece of bread, we would call that a payback. It should say in the Pasuk, and Yitro heard what Moshe did. He says, call him over, we're going to build him a mansion. Not give him a little piece of bread. They call him, Moshe comes, he has some. He has lunch with Yitro. Midrash, Rav Simon screaming, En kan chesed. There's no chesed over here. This is payback. You know the ramifications of what happened because Yitro gave Moshe bread? You know what happened in history because of this Yitro giving Moshe a piece of bread? And a payback! There's a story in the Nevi'im that talks about when
God commands Shaul to go kill Amalek. So, Amalek is camped out where they are. And next to Amalek, there was the nation called Kini. God tells Shaul, before you go to war with Amalek, go save, go tell Kini to get out of the way, because we don't want to kill them, because they did us a favor. They did Klal Yisrael a favor when we were in Egypt.
That's what the Shaul tells us is commanded.
Who is Kini? Kini is the great, 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 great grandson of Yitro. That nation came from Yitro. What was the favor that Kini did to Klal Yisrael? Comes the Midrash and says, by giving Moshe that bread, that's ki'ilu that he committed a chesed with Klal Yisrael, and b'schut the bread that Yitro gave Moshe as a payback, years later when Hashem wants to destroy Amalek, a whole nation of Kini gets saved. Which means, really Kini was supposed to die with Amalek. Because they were living with Amalek, so he deserved to die. Oyla Rasha, or the Shkedo. What are you hanging around Amalek for? Kini deserved to die. A whole nation, wipe him out with Amalek. What zechut did Kini have to live? Because your great-great-grandfather gave bread to Moshe Rabbeinu. Therefore, we consider a chesed to one Jew, it's like you did a chesed to whole Klal Yisrael. You fed, because your great-great-grandfather fed Klal Yisrael. When they were in Egypt. And Klal Yisrael, a little measly piece of bread as a payback because he saved his daughters. And the Midrash is like, and God, I said, this is not how I said. You don't give a guy Hazaku Baruch. What'd you do? But, I mean, don't ask me to explain it deeper than this. It's why. The level of when you do a good deed, doesn't matter. You're right. You had to pay him back. But bottom line, did you give Moshe a piece of bread? Did he get a piece of bread? Did he eat it? Was he happy? Yeah. So that's it. That's it. That's... You did a tremendous thing. Now we're talking on favors that are not even favors. Imagine if a guy goes and does a favor, a sham favor with good intentions and has no benefit. Who knows what you could affect? You can bring rain forever, and you can bring panasah, and you can save nations. Who knows?
I was going to say, but shouldn't the pay, wasn't the payback that his daughter married the greatest man ever? I mean,
not a big enough payback. What's that? It's a great thing.
Yeah.
I'm showing you, it's even bigger. The whole nation of Kini, they're scratching their heads. Hey. Why is Shaul telling us that we're going to live? Why doesn't he kill us with Amalek? Oh, because Yitro, our great-grandpa, gave bread to Moshe. What's happening? But in Jewish religion, we understand giving bread to Moshe, ki'ilu you gave bread to all Klal Yisrael. This is what a chesed is. The concept is really called, if you want to get to the point that we're trying to hit tonight, but you want to put the name on the tape, Hakarat HaTov. Hakarat HaTov means recognizing that someone did good for you and therefore you show gratitude. When someone does you a chesed, you show gratitude. You helped me? Thank you very much, Skamasov. Now I have to show gratitude to you. So the level of gratitude that you have to show is not dependent on the amount of chesed that you received. That's what we're learning over here. Abraham owed gratitude to Bnei Chet because he sold him a Me'arat Mechpelah. We would say, how much you owe that? He sketched you in the end. So, thank you and see you later. Drop dead. No. 10 times Bnei Chet in the Torah. That's the old guy. That got out that door. Scale him its word, Yaakov. You opened the bottle for us. You picked the rock up. No. You did a chesed. We owe you gratitude. So the level of gratitude that we owe you is tremendous. That zechut is going to stand to bring rain.
pays back. Yitro giving Moshe a piece of bread.
He did us a favor. We're gratitude. Hashem, we have to show gratitude to Yitro.
So you know what we should do to Yitro?
You gave us one piece of bread, we'll give you a bakery. Gratitude is no bounds. When somebody does you a favor, so you gotta go now. This is what Torah, you're right, if you're learning from Goyim or something, they won't tell you this. They don't understand this.
I don't even understand it so much. It's not proportionate, but that's what the Torah is telling me. When someone does you a favor, the level of gratitude that you have to have is not proportionate according to the favor that he did to you, even if it's for the wrong intention. Take it like this. God tells Moshe, I want you to take the Jews out of Egypt.
So what does Moshe say? Moshe comes and says that he has to go back to Yitro, his father-in-law, and ask for permission.
God is telling Moshe, you're going to be the one that takes the Jews out of Egypt.
Now what does that mean, taking out of Egypt? It
means you're the one that's going to do the Makot. You're going to make the biggest Kiddush Hashem. You're going to lead a nation, a Jewish nation. You're going to take them to Har Sinai. You're going to give them the Torah.
Taking out of Egypt is like that's the greatest thing in the whole entire world spiritually. Forget about it. You're going to talk, God's talking to them.
He said, I got to get Yitro. Got to get permission.
Why?
Because he did me a favor, Yitro. When I ran away from the Egyptian, I came here, he took me in. He fed me, he sat me, he gave me his daughter, my father-in-law. I can't just go, not nice. God wanted to hear that from Moshe.
Moshe goes back to Yitro to ask for permission.
Can I go to be the Claudius, the leader of Claudius in Egypt, Beta McDow, should I go?
Now let's say Yitro says,
I want you to stay with me. I want you to stay. Love you, my son-in-law. Be with me. We'll have together. So Moshe is, you know what Moshe is? All right, Yitro won't let me go.
But you're going to give up the whole thing. You're going to be the man, the history, the legacy, Moshe Rabbeinu. You give the whole thing up. Because
he did me a favor. I got it. Moshe Rabbeinu understood Hakarat HaTov. Great. There's a right way, there's a right way. This is
Hashem did not scold Moshe. Going to Yitro, I tell you to go take the Jews out of Egypt, you're worried about Yitro? Yitro used to be the Pope. You're gonna go ask him now to...
Hashem says, go ask Yitro. Of course Yitro says, go. But here you see a level of Hakarat HaTov. See a level of a guy showing gratitude. Moshe Rabbeinu showing gratitude to his father-in-law.
He's willing to give up his whole career.
Moshe, just for a thank you. Just for a...
the show.
Now you might say, that you're great people like Moshe, like Avraham. They know how to show gratitude. But I'll show you even, take the worst guy in the world, take the worst people, they understand this concept of gratitude, of Hakarat HaTov. That when somebody does you a favor, you can't double cross him. When somebody does you something, he helps you, you're indebted to that person. You gotta go out of your way to show, scale him, it's Lord, thank you, let me help you, what can I, endless amount. Not one thank you, not 10 thank yous. You're indebted for life. Who's the worst guy ever? Paro. Very bad guy. The Pasuk says, in Shemot, we didn't even get the Vayera yet. Vayamot melech Misraim, Vayakom melech hadash al Misraim, asher lo yadat Yosef. Right? A new king came upon Egypt that did not know Yosef. T- comes the Midrash and says a tremendous story, as you never heard. What do you mean a new king?
It's the same king, Mara says. Read the Midrash, the same guy. You know, what happened? Just the same guy. Why does it say Melech Hadash?
Comes the Midrash and gives a royal story.
Paro is the king. The advisors come to Paro and they tell him, listen, the Jews are getting powerful, they're multiplying. You can't get seats in the movie theaters, they're taking over the country. What's going to be with this over here? We want to... You've got to knock them out. Who knows, they're going to make a war against us one day, they're going to be bigger than us. Let's go do something to these Jews. You got the Jewish problem. That's the story of the generations. This is the Jewish problem. So what is Paro? You're dealing with Paro, the worst guy, the biggest gangster in history? What is Paro's reaction?
You can't. Why? The Jews? Yosef. Yosef is the one that helped us. If it wasn't for him, we wouldn't be here today. He's the one that figured out the plan with the 7 years of food, saving it, giving it out. If it wasn't for Yosef with the dream, he saved Egypt. If it wasn't for Yosef, there's no Egypt. If there's no Yosef, there's no Paro, there's no nothing. And now you want to go take the nation of Yosef and go persecute them? Where's that Galata talk?
Listen to that, like a Rosh Yeshiva, Paro's talking.
Let him come give a class to us on Hakarat HaTov. He's giving Musa to the Egyptians. Don't you have any gratitude? And it wasn't only Haki Balash.
They pressed, no, you got it. We got to kill them. We can't. So you know what Paro does?
Revolutionary thing you're never going to see it again in history. He abdicates the throne. He says, I cannot be the king of a country that will not show Hakarat HaTov to Yosef. I don't want to be part of this. I'm out. Here's your crown, here's your stake, here's your kid, I'm going home.
You're following what's going on over here?
How long did he live? How long did this fellow live? Because obviously all the generations of Yosef and his brothers, it says in the Parashah that they all died. They all died. So how come this guy lived for 2,000 years? Obviously, he was
2,000 years?
Well, not like 2,000. Obviously he was the king when Yosef came. Actually, he was older than Yosef.
Bottom line, you want to know how old he lived?
Yeah.
I don't know. Now, what does it mean to Paro to say, well, Yosef is a great man, he helped Egypt, I'm abdicating the throne. You know what it means to abdicate the throne? To say, I don't want to be king anymore? I'll try to explain it to you. Take Shaul HaMelech. Shaul HaMelech, before he became king, he didn't want to know. It says when they went to find him, he was hiding. Once he became king, they don't want to give it up so easy. Kavod is one of those things where before you have the kavod,
okay,
you don't know it. But once you get the kavod, then they're ready to give it up. It's not so easy. One rabbi said, I mean, Shaul, after he became the king, you see when David tried it, he ran after him, he chased him. But before you were running away from it, okay, before I had it, now you have it, you want to keep it. There's a rabbi, the B'Yoshua ben Pedahiah, this is what he says. He's a great people. Look at the way they thought. The B'Yoshua ben Pedahiah says, before I became a leader, if somebody were to tell me, come on, be the leader, I would sick a lion on him.
I want to be leader, I want the kavod.
I would sick a lion on the guy. He said, but now that I am the leader, if somebody were to tell me, step down, I'd pour a hot urn of boiling water on his head. Now, what is this mean over here? This is what he said. Doesn't mean to be sure I would have done something, but he says, once you have it, step down.
Used to be.
Now, Paro is not to be Yeshua. Paro, the worst guy. What does it mean to step down from, you know what the kavod this man was receiving to be the
king of Egypt? You know what, all the glory that goes with it? Egypt is they ruled the whole world at the time. You're on top of the whole thing. And you're willing to say, all not worth it. I'm willing to step down, give up all the kavod. You could laugh at me, scream at me. Why? Guy did me a favor, Yosef, and now you're going to double cross him. I will not be part of it.
Now you're saying what? So why don't we make Paro one of the Sadiqim then?
Because Paro only abdicated for 3 months. After 3 months already, his tzitzkut ran out. He wasn't able to keep the level. Okay, well, so maybe fellas, give me the seat back and forget about Yosef.
Vayakom melech hadash al Mitzrayim, shelo yadat Yosef.
It was the same king, but now he made it.
Who's Yosef? Yeah, forget about Yosef. Yosef who?
He helped out. I don't remember that story.
Not me.
Once he went back on the throne and started the Gezerot, so you're out.
We don't say you did good because you had Hakarat HaTov for 3 months. Once you double cross the guy, you lose everything. It's not like we say 3 months he was Sadiq and then he couldn't. You're out. We don't give any credit to Paro anymore.
Comes to Midrash and throws in one more line and says, now it says Asher lo yadat Yosef.
There came a time where he said, Mi Hashem Asher Ishma Bekulu.
It starts off, who's Yosef?
It ends off, who's God?
Starts off not having gratitude to human beings.
You get used to that for a while. Guy does you a favor, doesn't matter, I don't know, thank you, no nothing, I don't owe him anything, man, he didn't do it for me, he benefited from it, it was him. No gratitude. It starts with people, and it ends with God.
God does people a lot of favors. But when you train yourself not to be a gracious person, a person that has gratitude, it doesn't end with people, it starts with people. It ends with Borei Olam. I mean, see, with Paro.
Started off saying, Ani lo yodaya et Yosef. He ended off saying, Mi Hashem.
I don't even know God. We have a rule in the Torah. Lo tita'ev misri. Do not despise an Egyptian.
I don't mean the Egyptian. Egyptians, we mean the Egyptians, the real guys, the Egyptians from Egypt.
Why can't you despise an Egyptian? It's just because you were Gerim, you lived in their country. They were your host.
Therefore, if an Egyptian wants to convert, a third generation Egyptian can be accepted in their Jewish religion, no problem. Why? Because they were our host when we were in Egypt.
Host?
What kind of host? They killed us. The worst host, but we're not a host like this. They took us, they killed us, Avodat Parech, by Marino with Hayyehem, they killed the babies, 150 babies in the morning, 150 babies in the evening.
But bottom line, they were the Balabai, they were your host in Egypt. You were foreigners in their land. They gave you a land to live in.
I got out to talk to the Egyptians. While other nations, Amalek, kill their animals even. Comes to Moab, you can't marry the men. Comes to Ammon, you can't marry them. All the other nations don't marry them. They're out. They can't come into the nation. They can't come in. Comes Mitzrayim,
Adal.
Why Mitzrayim, Fadda? Because they told you Fadda when you were in Egypt.
Even though they did it for themselves, even though they were interested in their own thing, and they had no intention to do the favor for you, they wanted to get...
The bottom line, you did receive a... You aren't nomads, you lived in Egypt. You lived in their country. Hakarat HaTov to the Egyptians. But on the highest level, we give them the zechut to become Jewish. Is there any other zechut like that? Give them a chance to be attached to God? Now we bring it to the next level. This is deep, deep subject. This is deep. You gotta digest this stuff.
I'm taking it to the next level.
We don't have time for the digestion process. Gemara Baba Kama says, Bira de Shatit Mine Maya Lotishte Bekala. There's probably an English phrase to say this, the popular, I don't know the English way really. The well that you drank water from, don't throw stones in. You drank water, beautiful. Then I take a rock. What's the concept? Does the well understand anything? Does the well know? He threw a rock, that good for nothing, I just gave him water. The well doesn't know anything. Well do not have brains. Well do not have feelings. Wells do not know what's going on. So what's the matter? If I just drank water from a well, to take a rock and throw it to count the ripples. Anything wrong with that? Gemara's telling you, no, don't do that. Don't. You just drank from it, don't. Comes the rabbis that explained the Gemara, and they tell a similar story about a great rabbi called Darif. What's the story of Darif? Story of Darif is, he was a rabbi in the town, Rabbi Al-Fasi, and a fellow comes to him, a rich businessman that lost his money. And the fellow had a bathhouse, and he needed the money. So he goes to the Darif and says, "Listen, Rabbi, I have my bathhouse. Business is bad. I need you to write the documents. I have to sell the bathhouse. I have to get rid of it." So the Darif says, "I will not judge on this bathhouse. I will not evaluate it. I will not get involved with the sale of this bathhouse." "Why, Rabbi? Why won't you help me with the bathhouse?" "Because I had pleasure from that bathhouse. I used to go to that bathhouse. I used to take saunas in that bathhouse. Haram. Now I'm going to be the one that goes ki'ilu. Sell it? To double cross the bathhouse? I can't double cross the bathhouse. Gave me so much and I had so much pleasure." Now, I hope I'll be able to explain to you what's going on over here. Because you're probably sitting like I was when I read that story. What are you going, it's too much already. You want to tell me gratitude to people? I love that. It's a great car. You can sell that to anyone. Gratitude to people is a beautiful concept. Thank you. Even according to what we want to say, go to all bounds. There's no limits how much when a guy does you a favor, how much gratitude you have to have for him. Don't be ungrateful. Show your appreciation when people do it. It's a great concept. We all buy it. We might have learned tonight a chidush that it's not proportionate to what the guy did for you. Well, we can live with that. But now you're going to go tell me that I can't throw a rock in the well that I drank from. The rabbi called Darif is not going to go sell a bathhouse because he took it. Where's that fitting? Well, what does that help for anything? I remember I had a friend. We were sitting in the Kotel once. And once in a while, you get a cup of tea or something. So I'm drinking the tea, styrofoam cup. So after I finish the cup of tea, so I'm playing with the styrofoam. I'm ripping it. I'm playing it. So he says, "You just drank from the cup? Now you're ripping it?" So I looked at him. So, Ajay, we have now the Nola Dora over here. We have the Reef. Modern day Reef. Nice to the bathhouse. I have to be nice to the cup. Is there something to that, what he told me, or is it Mishnu? Let's see if we can... And that's where we get to this week's Pirasha. So now, put the tape on, and we're going to stop. Here's where you get to this week's Pirasha. We have the three, the templates, right? But the first three is Dam, Sefardaya,
Kini.
Borei Olam comes to Moshe. Moshe! We're starting the thing, huh? Moshe! First plague, damn, beauty. Go tell Aharon to do that.
Hey, Aharon, go do that.
Why Aharon go do that? Because how did they bring blood? They had to take the stick, go to the river, hit the river. So Borei Olam tells Moshe, I for you to hit the river. The river saved your life. When you were a baby, they put you in the teva and you floated in there. Now you're going to go take a stick and hit the river? I got that off. Gratitude! But I don't do it. Okay. Comes the next Makkah, Sefer Daya. Check. What? No, go tell Aharon, Sefer Daya. Why? Because again, you gotta go hit the river. Same reason. Frogs came out. Can't hit the river, Moshe! Aharon. Comes Kini, lice! She didn't do anything yet. It's all Aharon. Moshe, tell Aharon, take the stick, and let him hit the ground. You can't hit the ground. Why? Because the ground saved your life when you buried the Egyptian. It covered him up. Alright? The ground saved your life. Now you're going to go hit the ground? Now this is why. This is where we're ready. We get lost. Moshe, you want to thank your father-in-law? Alright, it's hard. We got you. But now, what does it mean to stay here? The ocean doesn't know anything. Furthermore, you know what it is to bring a plague? You're the vehicle that is creating the biggest Kiddush Hashem. You're coming to Mitzrayim and saying, I am now going to prove to the whole Egypt that there is a God in the world. And I am now going to take a stick and bring blood. You know what you're doing to the people of the Jews and of the Egyptians? You're making the biggest sanctification of God's name. Everyone sees blood? Unbelievable. Have you seen the miracles? Such that the Egyptians, their water turned into blood. If a Jew, he had two straws. The Egyptians drinking his blood. The Jews drinking water. Miracle of miracles. They spit, it's with blood. Everything was blood. And they sat with blood. Frog, whatever. Whatever, kinim lice, to the extent where the Hartumim are the magicians of Egypt, they were able to copy blood, sketch blood. They zap the thing, witchcraft, they make Hawaiian punch or something. But we could also make blood. It wasn't really blood. Frauds, and frauds are able to. When it came to lice, they didn't even know, they couldn't even do it. The Hartumim, these magicians, they come and say, Erzpa Elohim. This is God. There's a God. Those guys admitted God. Imagine with Sechut, you were able to prove to get the Egyptians to admit there's a God in the world. So Moshe, go hit the river. You're the thief, Kiddush Hashem. Hakarat HaTov, it did me a favor. I can't hit it. Listen to the concept. This is the cleanse. These are the lines right now. Rabbi Dessler explains. Rabbi Dessler explains that when it comes to midot, character traits, you have to build up a sensitivity to the subject. And as long as you're sensitive to the subject, you have a good chance that the trait is going to come out positively. But if you dull the sensitivity to the subject in the slightest way, if it gets dulled, then already the ramifications of the trait also won't come out. He explains, if you really want to be a gracious person, show gratitude, hakarat hatov. So you have to make sure your sensitivities are always gratitude. You can't dull that sense. If Moshe were to take that stick and hit the river, sure, the river don't care if you hit it or not. But you dull that sensitivity already. Already you were able to. It did do something for you, the river. And now you can hit it. Already, you're not so sensitive anymore to this subject. Something can do you a favor and you can go and hit it. Even though the result's going to be tremendous. But is it? It's not worth that you're going to ruin this. That. When you're going to take the stick mush and hit the ground, already now,
You're a step away from Hakarat HaTov. He didn't hit the ground because the ground is worried. He didn't hit the ground for his own personal reason. Because when I hit the ground, now already I'm not a bad, I don't know, I'm a worse person. I'm less sensitive. Now when I come to my friend, I might be less, show less gratitude because I trained myself, let's say it like that. When you train yourself a certain way, it becomes habit. So if I'm going to hit the river now, right, I train myself that it's possible something to do good for you with. But by refraining and not hitting, already he's teaching himself to be sensitive to the subject. All the more so if a guy has Hakarat HaTov to a river, if a guy has Hakarat HaTov to a ground, if a person has Hakarat HaTov to a bathhouse, all the more so a person's going to have Hakarat HaTov to human beings. Why? Because he's working on that sensitivity. But when you're done, even though it might be small, when I'm sitting there ripping that styrofoam cup, doesn't mean that I'm going to walk out of the midrash now and stab someone in the back that did me a favor. It doesn't, you're not going to become an extremist, but already, in the depthness of the heart, already you moved a little away from Hakarat. It's going to affect you a drop. So Moshe doesn't want to get affected. Moshe wants to keep Hakarat HaTov sterling trait. So he can't hit. This is Rabbi Nessel's explanation. I hope I'm saying it clear. I hope it's being understood. Comes a rabbi in the Sefer Achinuch. This is important to you. And talks about the mitzvah of kibud av ve'em. What's the kind of, why do you have to honor your father and mother? What's the point? So he says, Mishorshem, Shira'ui lo le'adam shiyakir v'yigmol chesed l'mi sha'asai motorah. You owe gratitude to somebody that did good for you. V'lo yed naval. Don't be a lowlife. Umitnaker v'kafui tovad, ungrateful person. Shizumi dara umeusha betachlit. This is unbelievable. No word is wasted here. People that are ungrateful, that don't show gratitude when kindness is done for them, they're a lowlife. They're rotten. They're despicable. The epitome of despicable in front of God and people. It's nice, so I don't want to be that kind. Vishitanili, boy, a person should put in his heart, ki ha'av v'ha'em, if it wasn't for his mother and father, there wouldn't be him. Therefore, a person has to do the greatest kindness to them, especially when he was young, who changed his diapers, who fed him, who goes through all these things. Honoring your father and mother is all Hakarat HaTov. Forget about they're older than me. Leave all that. That's another place. Honor your father and mother because you have to be grateful. Now a person might say, why do I have to honor my father and mother? They enjoyed it. They enjoyed having me. Now, every father and mother want to have kids. It's a good thing that people go and adopt kids because they want to have that feeling of having kids. So they did it for their own personal benefit. They enjoyed going goo-goo, gaga, bringing me to the rides. They had pleasure. Showing me off. That's their hana'a. So I have to be grateful to a person that did a favor to me so he can have pleasure. See you later. He says no. Even if you're right, the person who did you a favor gained something from it, you're still obligated. Put it this way. The river, who is inanimate object, is not worse than the person that did you a favor and gained something from it. At least this is a person, this is a river. So if you have to give Hakarat HaTov to the river, not so much for the river, but to keep your sensitivity, well, the more so to your parents. And then he comes and says, this is the line. Once you start honoring your parents and you show gratitude to your mother and father, then you will start to begin to show gratitude to God. Because who brought your parents? Who caused your parents to have children? Who? You'll go back to the root. Where does it start where people don't start recognizing God's kindness? He doesn't have respect for his parents. Starts with the parents. It ends up with Borei Olam. Well, what would God do for me? I have a rotten life, terrible, I got nothing, real dear. That you don't start like that. You start with people. But when you build up a sensitivity, the littlest thing that somebody stinks a lot. Wow, you call the guy up, thanks a lot, you really did me a favor. Even if I didn't even know he did you a favor. Sometimes you go to shul and there's a guy praying, I mean, that very strong, so you get psychic. The prayer's praying, you get good feelings, so you pray good, I mean, that. Because the guy was praying a good Amidah. You get into it from another person. The guy did you a favor. He didn't even know he did you a favor. He's doing himself a favor. I'm thinking about you. If the guy calls scammers, remember that thing? True, you uplifted me. Say, I got that off. This is, the story I went, mean, look, forget the technicalities, how it goes, but he was riding on a bus once, and he saw an old lady was going on the bus, and the bus driver got out, a city bus. The guy gets out of his thing and he helps the old lady get on the bus. So Rabbi Miller, who every second, you know, he's calculated, he took out time, he writes a letter to the transit authority. I'd just like to say, you have an excellent driver. I was on the B-63 on King's Highway at 4:30, whoever that's driving, I want to let you know what he did. He got down, he took the guy up the lane. He's commendable. So the guy sends him a whole letter. Thank you, Rabbi. They gave me a promotion. They gave me an award. That's okay. They're good things. Thank you. We wouldn't think in a million years. We're not so sensitive. We're very dull. Bizarre, we're going to thank the mailman who gives you the mail. Because what's your... Oh, he's getting paid. It's his job. Thank you. Not going out of his way. He's making money for delivering my mail. He should thank me. we're gassed up. I'm telling you, go give the examples how we're so messed up when it comes to that karata tov that will flip everything around. How the guy did not deserve a thank you. We'll always find a way why you don't have to go to a guy, you did me a favor. No, he didn't do me a favor. His intention was for that. We're learning here tonight, gentlemen, it don't matter. Nobody's worse than Efron Ha'it. And still he has his name 10 times in Torah because he did a favor like that to Abraham. It starts, listen to this Gemara. We'll give you the Gemara, we'll finish it. We can talk on this subject. This is Gemara. I have to really think of examples. There's a lot of examples like that. People do you a favor and you won't even think of saying thank you because you don't. Be sensitive. You gotta break that. Learn how to say thank you. Learn how to say, God did me. Learn how to be gracious. Appreciate people. Don't always look for the, you know, the sum. Hey, well, do that. Look at this Gemara. We'll finish with this. Gemara's talking about guests. Oreyach tov, a good guest. Mahu omer, what does a good guest say? So he says, Kama tarach terchot tarach balabayit bishvili. How much toil did the balabayit do for me? Kama basare bi lefanai. Look at all the meat he brought in front of me. Kama yayin bi lefanai. Look at all the wine he brought. Kama gluskaot bi lefanai. I mean, donuts he brought in front of me. Whatever the Balabai did, he did for me. That's a good guest. Aval oreyach ra, a bad guest. Mahu omer, what does the bad guest say? Ma torach tarach Balabai ze. What did he do for me in the end? Pat achat achalti. I only ate one piece of Syrian bread. Chatichat achalti. He's not ate a little piece. Leftovers he had. He's getting rid of it. Kosehat shatiti. I drank one cup of wine. Nothing.
Kol Torah shetarah ba'al habayit, any toil that he did that night, zeh lo tarah ela b'shvil ishto ubanav. He did it for himself. He wasn't interested in me. Now the question is, who are we dealing with over here? If the guy really did everything for the guest's benefit, so why do we call the guy Ureyah Tov? When he says, everything he did for me, you're truthful. He did everything for you, so why do we compliment him? And if the host really did not do it for his intention, if he only was doing it for his own personal benefit, so why do we call the guy a bad guest? He's telling the truth. Whatever he did for himself. Bad guest. Why has he? It's the truth. And the other guy's telling the truth also. Whatever he did for him, why call him good in bed? Listen to this, Bishop. When you go to somebody's house, so you can always look at it both ways. I could look at it that he really did everything for me, and therefore I'm indebted to the guys. Beautiful. Thank you very much. And I could flip it around and say, he did it for himself. If you're interested in keeping that sense of gratitude fresh, which way are you going to take it? Even if the guy really did it for his own benefit. But you're not interested. Did you eat bread in the end? Did you invite you in then? Even let's say the guy's a bad guy. The guy only did it for himself. He was getting rid of his leftovers. You did him a favor for cleaning out his fridge there. He didn't have to throw it out. You saved him with an errand. But so what? Did you get benefit in the end? So what do you care now what his intention was? Bottom line, you received benefit. Is the mashi any different? It's the same mashi when he's left out. It's the same thing. So therefore it's telling you, the attitude you have to have is, whatever he did for me. I owe him everything. A bad guest, even if the guy is giving everything, he don't want to show gratitude. So he'll look a million excuses why he did it for himself. You can't dull it. So even if you got a favor from someone, and you know the guy didn't intend to do you a favor, and you know he didn't mean it, but you gotta be Oreyach Tov, you gotta be a good guest. Don't dull it. Because once you get used to giving excuses why you don't show gratitude, and you don't have to say thank you, then you're not gonna show thank you when you have to show thank you, then it's gonna lead to Borei Olam. And I'll end with what the Gaon Mevil, he comes and explains this Gemara in a whole new way. Oreyach Tov, a good guest. Who's that referring to? A human being in this world. What does a good guest say in this world? Whatever the Baal HaBayit does, who's the Baal HaBayit? Borei Olam. Whatever the Baal HaBayit does in this world, he does for me. Look how much gratitude I owe to God. He put this tree outside, it's for me, so when I walk out on my street, beautiful. He put the roads for me, the bridges for me, so I can get around. Everything's for me, look what he did for me. What a shit. What does the bad guest in this world say? What did God do for me? He created me so I can serve him. He created me because he gets benefit from it, so he has more servants. He did it for himself. What? I owe Hashem. I did Hashem the favor. And he said, well, how would a guy even say that? You're right, that does not come overnight. It starts off, Hashem lo yadat Yosef. It starts off not recognizing people. It starts off not having kibud av va'im. It starts off not thanking your friend for a simple thing that he did for you, taking it for granted. When you take the small things for granted, slowly, slowly you start chipping away at it. You're dulling the sense. After a while, the sense becomes so dull. Now, Borei Olam, you're so used to, what do you do for me anyway? I don't know, let me get karat atof. I do mitzvot all day long, so I'm giving him benefit. You'll never reach this level of it. So where do you start? Eli, you're saying, you prove to us that Hakarat HaTov is a big thing, where do we start? So the guy's going to walk out of this gate and say, from now on, I'm not going to rip styrofoam cups after I drink tea. I'm not going to throw rocks in the wishing well. So don't start that. Before you start worrying about
slamming your car door because it did you a favor. But you get to that one day.
Yeah, you know, you have the guy who's worried about slamming his car door, but at the same time he's screaming at his wife, saying, "Oh, yeah, Zagba, you're being careful on the, you know, the." And on the big thing, he forgot about. So you can't be backwards. Gratitude starts in the house. How many times a wife makes you a dinner? So what's your reaction when she has to make me the way? When you get married? Who's gonna? I'm gonna make the dinner. I don't know how to make dinner. So you don't even assume that you have to say thank you to your wife or to your mother for that. What's mother's for? Mother makes dinner. There's a minhag already. We know this. So you don't even have to say thank you because it's already given the opposite. I'm eating it, so already I'm doing her a favor that I'm eating it. I like it, so I'm showing her. You flip it, you get it. So if a guy doesn't even say thank you to his wife after she makes dinner, or thank you to his mother after he makes dinner, or thank you to things that are going on in the house. Damn it, thank you. So what, Goya, you could say thank you to the Goyim also. You're training yourself. Thank you, wow. The food was great. You did me a big favor, you picked up the cleaners, thank you very much. Not, what are you doing all day anyway? Of course you pick up. You could always get.
How about at work, if a worker does something to you, and say, I think you're supposed to come
thank. After this place, what do you think? What do you think?
It's his job.
It's his job, you're right. Yitro, it was his job to give Moshe bread also after he saved his daughters from the well. Moshe goes to him and says, can I go save the Jews from Egypt? I gotta ask you.
Thank you.
What is it? Again, you're not so interested, by the way. Let me give you the point. You're not so interested in the thank you to. You want to make yourself sensitive to the issue, so when it comes to the big things, you won't forget to say thank you. I always got to say
thank you.
If you do the easy things, you won't be belittle on the big things. But if you belittle the small things, eventually you're going to come one day at Mi Hashem. So this concept really starts at train yourself this week at least. One thing. What's the first thing you say when you get up in the morning, fellas? First two words that come out of your mouth, Mode Ani, unbelievable. You start off the morning, thank you. First thing you thought, thank you for the Shema, thank you. That's the word, Mode Ani, always Mode Ani. You always have started in the house, in the small places. And look how many times people do you a favor. You go downstairs, now someone's going to give you a secret. I mean, he was there and I'm not. Thank you. This is the concept called Hakarat HaTov. And Bezrat Hashem, if we reach a level of Hakarat HaTov, the human beings, Bezrat Hashem will come to the biggest pleasure in life. The biggest pleasure in life is showing gratitude to Borei Olam. Because when you start appreciating what God does for you, you're a happy person. And then you can start that. But you'll never reach that level if we don't start that. One lesson from Parashat Vayera. Hakarat HaTov. Not the concept? Okay, is that the